Did we win?
Milan, a child at this point, asked her aunts and uncles as the last few workers sped away on their mopeds. Her relatives did not answer. The Carnation Revolution also put an end to the Portuguese colonial war, a 13-year conflict between the Portuguese military and the growing nationalist movements in the country's African territories. One such territory was Cape Verde, an archipelago off the west coast of Africa that was uninhabited when the Portuguese landed in the 1460s, more than three decades before Columbus reached the Americas, and which became the first European colony in the tropics and a major staging post in the transatlantic slave trade. Cape Verde, along with the other Luso-African colonies, including Angola and Mozambique, gained independence in 1975. The decades that followed saw mass immigration from Lusophone Africa to Portugal, and it is a family of Cape Verdean immigrants, the Matas, who became tenants in the now empty canning factory, paying a small amount of rent and maintaining the buildings in return. However, the Matas' days in the factory are numbered. Tourism is booming in the Algarve, and the factory is sitting on prime real estate. The Leandro family sell the building off to a Dutch corporation that plans to build a luxury resort on the site, despite the environmental destruction this will entail. The developers claims, "We won't disturb so much as the root of a palm tree." Quite the contrary, the palm trees will actually like what we do, are as familiar as they are untrue. In this globalized world, even the events of the novel morph into marketing materials. We learn much of the story of the factory, for example, from an extended sales pitch delivered by Milan's uncles during a dinner with the Dutch developers. The Matas, too, are packaged up for publicity purposes. When flying over the factory in a helicopter, the Dutch developer is enchanted by the picturesque, out-of-Africa feel they lend to the landscape, though he is equally pleased to hear they can be swiftly evicted. The romance that develops between members of the Leandro and Mata families throws into relief Portugal's troubled relationship with its colonial past. The discourse of multiculturalism and tolerance that became widespread in Portugal in the 1990s has been linked to Lusotropicalism, the contested notion that the intermixing of Portuguese colonizers with their colonized subjects created a uniquely hybrid, open-minded society. Felicia Mata's freckles and green eyes, however, are the result not of a fruitful cultural exchange, but of the betrayal of her great-great-grandmother by a duplicitous French sailor. The behavior of Milan's image-conscious uncles and aunts also exposes this discourse of tolerance as a facade. They may be squeamish about the overtly racist language used by their brother-in-law, Dom Silvestri, who lived for some time in apartheid-era South Africa, but some of their cruelest actions arise from an unspoken complicity with his views. In the love story at the center of the book, however, there exists the hope of a more progressive, equal society emerging in the future. As Milan stands outside the factory at the beginning of the novel, fanning herself with her sun hat, she stares in frustration at her surroundings. Those silent things, mere passive witnesses, nature's mute figures who, of course, had knowledge and memory, but who, when it came to it, never spoke. Ligia Georgia is interested in silent observers. She has said that her aim as a writer is to be a witness to a time, charting the changes taking place in Portugal and the world, and the ways people shape and are shaped by them. This is what The Wind Whistling in the Cranes achieves so brilliantly. It tells the story of a country by telling the story of a single building, which is also the story of landlords, workers, revolutionaries, immigrants, precarious tenants, property developers, and even the flocks of birds that roost in the palm trees outside the gates. Ceremony. On that hot August afternoon, the long body of the old factory still lay stretched out in the sun. Not quite intact, because the greenish roof bulged and bowed as if it were a continuation of the